You know, but also, I don't know if, how many of you know that we have chosen a new associate pastor. Did anybody hear this in the grapevine? Our church board knows, but Vern Holdhouse is going to be our associate pastor. Isn't that exciting? And if you know Vern, this is the right choice. And I'm going to tell you something. I thought a long time ago when I started thinking that maybe Rick won't be able to come back, his name came to my mind. And if you know him, he has a heart for God and ministry. And I know we're going to be a great team. And our team, Scott and the team, and I know it's going to be a great team. And he had to make some hard choices. And I think Margaret, too. But a hard choice for this decision to happen. But we don't know how long this is going to be. It looks like it, for now it's short term. But there's been a lot of holes, and we need Vern on board here. So I'm glad he's coming. He's starting August the 1st, so he's not a pastor today. So don't, you know, he's a pastor all the time. So anyway, that's coming, and I'm excited about that, especially, I think, more than anybody. Okay, so anyway, let's pray. Father, we are in your presence now. And God, I'm just praying now that your Spirit will come and speak from your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have my remote? Oh, there it is. It's one of those days already. The blessed light. Anybody feel blessed today? Anybody feel blessed to live in America, United States of America? And this week, of course, we celebrate and we remember our independence and our freedom. There is no nation in the world like this country. We are blessed, even traveling to Canada, just British Columbia. I lived there 2 years of my life as a kid. But there is a difference. There's something about America. We are a blessed people. And you start thinking about, have you ever just counted all your blessings in your life? They are amazing. Most of you have roofs over your head. You got food to eat. You got family. You got companionship. We have church family. We have Sabbath. We have truth. We've got a message to give to the world. We are a blessed people, aren't we? I think you'd all agree we are a blessed people, but I want to say this, how many of you, and there's no shame in admitting this, how many of you would like to be more blessed? Let me see your hand. Yeah, you know, we'd like to be even more blessed. What Jesus speaks to this in Acts 20, verse 35, so if you want to be more blessed, then listen up. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, okay, let's remember. And he said, it is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. The words of Jesus. So if you want the blessed life and you want to be more blessed, then we need this generous giving heart of our Lord, right? Because as we give, we are more like God. So these words of Jesus, you know, they're true, aren't they? Have you experienced this in your own life? It is more blessed to give than receive. How many have experienced that? We all have, haven't we? I mean, it's simply a Christmas time. It's more blessed than not just giving, but when you, I mean, receiving, but giving. There is such a great blessing in giving to people that are in need. And so Jesus is saying people that experience a more blessed life are people that live with a generous giving heart. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people in this church that live by that principle. And God is richly blessing you. So the key to a blessed life is a heart of what? Generosity. The key to a blessed life is a heart of what? Generosity. You want a life that is more blessed than be generous. In Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, it says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly or unjustly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So notice what it says. One person gives what kind? Freely and does what? And gets even. So do you want more? Do you want more blessing? Then you give freely, and God has promised to give you even more in your life. So again, the key to this blessed life is a generous heart. 2 Corinthians, we're very familiar with this, chapter 9, starting verse 6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Have you found that in your life? Now, of course, a farmer, when he'd read this, he knows that if you put a few seeds in the ground, are you going to have a big harvest? You're going to have a small harvest. It's so simple. If you put a lot of seeds in the ground, you're going to have a large harvest, right? Now, just a few months ago, I was in Broussette, Montana. There is such a thing. And we were at Jordan and Broussette, but I was at my cousin's place. His name is Randy Broussette. And he has a tractor. Now, you can't really tell, but these tires are taller than me. They're like this tall. And they're about that wide. They're huge tractors. Now, that's a 60-foot swath, and they can actually plant at 60 feet wide. Now, it's incredible. It's all computerized. It's all air-forced down into the drills where they plant, and it's amazing in the tractor. Now, you got to walk all these steps, this huge tractor. You get in there, and there is a screen inside these tractors. I mean, farming has changed. But actually, they punch in, they hook up with 20 satellites out in the middle of nowhere. If you've been to Broussette, it is the middle of nowhere. But they hook up, and he actually doesn't drive his tractor except for turning the corners. And they can go this close as 60 feet and plant that close from satellites today. With a unit like this, they can plant a whole section like in a day. It's amazing. They're just flying along, planting. And if one of the seed things plugs, a little beep on the screen, he goes out, unplugs, keeps going. It's just an amazing thing of what they're doing today. The point is, if you plant a lot, you're going to what? You're going to reap a lot. That is a principle in the Word of God. If you want in your life, if you want to reap many and more blessings, then start planting the seeds in your life. It goes on, verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. The word in the Greek is hilarious giver. Have you heard that before? That's what it's actually, that's the meaning. It's hilarious. Woohoo! Yeah, I get a give for God. That's what it's about. How many of you, when you wrote your tithe check or whatever today, you said, yahoo! Well, that's hilarious. That's what it's about. We give from the heart because God has given us so much and we love Him so much. It becomes a privilege and an honor and a joy to give back to God what He's already given to us. In fact, in the Old Testament, there would be whole feasts they would have just around giving back to God. It says in verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Bless you how? Abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Is that a good verse? God wants to bless you how? Abundantly. How often? All things, all times, in all need. See, that's the God that we serve. Is He an abundant God? Does He want to bless you with abundance? That's the kind of God He is. I love that. In all things, at all times, having all that you need. But notice what it's for, so you can perform good works. And then verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, I want you to look at that carefully. Notice what it's really saying. You will be enriched in how many ways? So He is not just talking about financial blessings, is He? And if you're limiting these verses just to financial blessings, you're missing some of the blessings of God, because there are many different blessings that God gives us. Now, certainly it must mean the financial blessing, material blessings. Obviously, it means that, but it also means relational blessings. You know, if you're in one of these marriages, these long marriages, you know, that this growing relationship, that's a blessing. Or if you have a lifelong friend in your life, that's a blessing. Or if you have physical blessings, how many of you have physical blessings? Every day, right? We have these physical blessings. Now we get sick and things happen, and that's the part of living in a sinful world, but we are blessed in so many ways, and God wants to bless us in every way. Now notice, these blessings aren't just for us. See, a lot of people say, God, I want you to bless me. I want more, and they want it for themselves. But notice, the blessings are given to us that we might be generous in how many occasions? In every occasion. Think about this. God wants to pour out his blessings, financial blessings, relational, all these things, that God might use you to be generous in every occasion, that the result will be, there will be what? Thanksgiving to God. So when we give back to God what he gives us, and by the way, it all belongs to God anyway, so he gives it to us, and when we give back to God, God uses that to be generous to others, and then the result is thanksgiving. People give praise and thanks to God when you give back to God some of what he's given to you. Isn't that an amazing thing that happens? You've all been there. You've all experienced it. It's an amazing thing. It's like a miracle that takes place, because sometimes we don't want to give, but when we give, there is a blessing in it. See, God doesn't want us just to be consumed with all these financial, material, relational, physical blessings just, you know, just for us. But he wants to use us for other people. And so when you give generously, and this happens, you fall in love with Jesus, your heart begins to change. It becomes more like Christ and God, this giving heart, and you want to share the blessings with other people. And so here you are. God is transforming you, and you have this generous heart, and you want to give, and you come to church and you give, and you give an offering, and you give in tithe, and you give in different ministries and different helps. And what happens? The result is people here in this community, people in this church, people around the world begin to praise God and thank God for your generosity. You gave back to God. I got to tell you, I'm so proud of our church. This is a very giving and generous church. And I'm thankful to be part of this church. And I don't know if you've noticed the budget. We have a large budget. We give to the school. We're so thankful for our schools. And we give. We believe in Christian education here. And we give lots to the school. And it's a large budget. But you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, this church family, you give. And you have a generous heart. And I want you to think about, isn't it interesting that this building is here because of people giving? That school continues to run because you and I, because we give back to God some of the things that God has given to us. And I just want you to know that this church, I don't know how many years ago, was it 8 years, 9 years ago, they did a remodel here, and you guys gave. That's a lot of money. And then you did a kitchen, and you guys gave. And then there's a parking lot, and there's a little lull because people don't get excited about parking lots, but I'm going to tell you, it's almost over, and we're going to have a new parking lot. But you guys have given. And I just want to say thank you as a pastor when you give. And I know one of the reasons our church budget hasn't been what it should be, but I know a lot of you give into different things, and all of you have, most of you, I should say all of you, have that giving spirit. I've seen that in this church. And God is blessing you. Amen? But with that being said, I want to raise this question. Knowing that it is more blessed to give than receive, why is it that not more people are generous? Or another way of saying it, why is it that people are not more blessed? Now, I was listening to the preacher, and he was preaching on giving and so on, and I think he answers the question, and he has these three mindsets. The first mindset is the bag mindset. Ever heard that before? It's the bag mindset. And it's the idea we would like to give, but we simply don't have enough to give. And sadly, that's where most people are. We have this bag, okay? And we don't have much extra, so we don't have anything to give or to be generous with. And Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a what? A bag with what else? With holes. So it's like you have this monthly income, you have this income, you put it in the bag, and then it has holes, and so by the end of the month, it's all gone, and you don't have anything left. Can anybody relate with that? And I'm going to tell you something. I grew up on this mindset. It's the bag mindset. You're always afraid to give too much because you're afraid there won't be anything left in the bag. And you might lack if you give. Right? Have you been there? Yeah, you say, yeah, I live that way every day, every week, every month of the year, right? See, God wants to change that mindset. So here it is. We have a bag. It has holes. It all goes out during the month. And you really want to give, but you just don't have enough to give. And then about the time you think you're getting ahead, you know, you're getting ahead and you got this thing in the bag, you got ahead, and guess what happens? Transmission goes out. And then the air conditioner goes out, right? And then something happens, and there it goes again, and you're back to the bag thing. And most of the world and most of us live with that mindset. There was a guy who had a bag. He had this mentality, a bag mindset. His name was Judas. See, Judas was that disciple, and he carried around the money, what? Bag. And he carried around the money. And he was real concerned what was in the bag. In fact, one time, when there was this woman came in to honor Jesus, she brings in the alabaster box, and it's worth a year's pay. And what does Judas do? Judas pipes up and says, man, we should have taken this perfume, sold it, and given the money to the poor. Judas was real concerned what was in the bag. But then later, what happened? Judas betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver in the bag. He had a bag mindset is what it is. And I think if we're all honest, we struggle with this all the time. We would love to give, but we have a bag, and it has holes. You know, the economy is tight. Those holes are like, the economy is tight. I don't have enough to give. Or I have to think about college for my kids. I don't have enough to give. Or I got a retirement to think about. I don't have enough to give. You know what I'm talking about? It's the holes. Keeps going. And so we give very little. And that's how I was raised. And many of us have been raised the same way. Well, God has a different plan, actually, and the second mindset is that it is the basket mindset. Have you heard of this one? It is the basket mindset. These people believe that God is an abundant giving God and that we can trust Him, and so we give freely, and as we give freely, God gives back to us. My wife threw that one in. The basket is overflowing. But look at this verse, Deuteronomy 28, 4 to 6. The fruit of your womb, will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading dough, a trough, will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Do you see it? There is the basket. And God wants you to have this basket idea that God blesses you and you keep just kind of giving it away and God just keeps filling the basket. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus is saying this. Now, interesting, I believe it's in the context, it's kind of this basket mentality or this harvest idea. So at the end, when the harvest would come, the master, he would send out the laborers, and they would go out there, and they'd work all day, and they'd fill baskets and so on. But at the end of the day, there would be these poor people that would come. And this master would allow them to come, and get the remains. So they would come out and harvest after the harvesters have gone through, and they would fill baskets, and he allowed this to happen. And so they would fill up the basket. Now, how do you think, if they just had a basket and they're poor people, how are they going to fill up the basket? They're going to press it down, they're going to fill it, they're going to shake it, they're going to press it down until it's running over, and they're carrying these baskets back home, right? Because they have been blessed. They have been blessed by the Master's generosity. Baskets running over. God wants you to change from the mindset of the bag to the basket. And he wants to actually bless people around you by having that mentality. He wants to just it to be running over. We know the story there of that little boy in the New Testament when Jesus feeds 5 to 10, maybe even 15,000 people. On that particular day, Jesus is preaching long. In fact, he's preaching all day. He's on a roll. Sorry, I know it's getting later. But it's worth it, right? We had a baptism, all that. It's okay to go longer, right? Now think about that. If we're in the presence of God, Jesus is here, we would want to be here all day. Just got to preach like Jesus. That's the problem. But anyway, this particular day, Jesus is preaching, and it's getting to evening. The people are hungry. They're looking for how are we going to solve this problem and looking for food. And they see the little boy, and this boy has a lunch basket, and it's filled with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, this little boy, he could have had the bag mindset. When they came to him, can we use your loaves and fishes? He could have said, no, these are mine. I only have enough just for me. I can't give any. If I give it to you, I won't have enough for me. And he could have been that way, but see, he didn't have that bag mindset. He had a basket mindset. He believed there was a need. God had a need. He says, I'm going to give what I have. He said, I'm going to give everything I have. And God, you're going to take it. You're going to bless it. You're going to use it. That was his mindset. And sure enough, Jesus took that. He took the basket of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he blessed it, and he gave it to disciples. The disciples gave it to everybody, and they fed how many people? Thousands of people. Because what was given was blessed by God. God will multiply what you give. Stop living in this life of not trusting. We all deal with this. But we live in this world. We're supposed to be people of faith, trusting, and we hang and we live in this bag mindset. When God says, be a basket person. Let me overflow your basket. Give what you have. I will bless it. That's the blessed life. And I will feed, and I will make a difference for the kingdom of God. By the end, at the end, when they gathered all the baskets up, how many was left? 12 what? Baskets. The basket mindset. When you give what you have. God is an abundant God. When you give freely, he will give more back to you. Amen. Amen. You want the blessed life, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I'm praying for every one of us that God will stretch our faith from the bag mindset to the basket mindset. When we are faithful, what is little? When we take what we have, and it's little, and some is small, some is more, when we are faithful, whatever God has had, and we become these people of giving back, God will bless you more. And your bag will turn into a basket. And as time goes on, as you give more and you learn to trust God more, all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm a basket person. I keep giving, and it keeps coming back to me. When you return tithe, for example, and you give offering, it is saying, I trust God. I'm not like the people out there in the world that don't care. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer in his kingdom. And I'm going to give 10% of what he's already given to me. And the Bible said that 10% is holy to the Lord. And we give that tithe. And we give offering on top of tithe. And we meet needs. And your basket begins to overflow, and the blessings you receive, you can't count. But see, there's a third mindset. I was going to do that, I didn't. There's a third mindset, and that is the barn. Some of you, see, God wants you to grow your faith so much, He wants to go from bag to basket to barn. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your what? Barns. And on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. And then he goes on and says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who would trust you with true riches? The barn mentality. The barn is, you said, I don't even comprehend this one. But see, God wants to use some of you to actually say, you're going to be like a barn. Think about that one. Not just a basket you can carry, but this is a barn. You say, I want to be one of those. Here's my hand. I want to be one of those. Be faithful what is little. And God will move you to basket. And when you become a basket person, you become a barn person for the kingdom of God. And you will never run out. God will keep giving back to you. See, the question is, can God really trust you? That's the question. Can He trust you with blessings? Not just financial. Can He trust you? See, I've noticed that he's had a hard time trusting me. But I think of Joseph. Joseph, think about it. He was taken from the pit, from prison. God put him in the palace. He was faithful to God. And because of his faithfulness, when there was a famine that came, who did God use to feed the people? Joseph. And Joseph is a type of Christ. And we as followers, Christ comes and lives in us. And so when there's a need, the church, the body of Christ should be the first people there to give away what God has given. And notice that Joseph's barns were overflowing and everybody was fed. Is there a blessing in giving back to God? See, God doesn't want us just to be tithers. That's 10%. I heard this from a preacher. He wants us to be twithers. And twithers is like a 20%. You give back to God. By the way, there is tithers in this church that give back to God. They have a barn mindset. But how many of you, and don't raise your hand, but think about it, how many of you have ever tried to outgive God? And I have a friend up north, and he tried to outgive the Lord. He said, I couldn't do it. He said, I'm going to try. So he went to 20%. His business went up 20%. He went to 30%, it went up 30%. Went 40%, 40%. God just kept giving back. He says, I kept going. He says, I'm still living, just a small percentage for me. He says, I'm so blessed, I don't know what to do with all my money sometime. This guy single-handedly built a church, almost a church by himself, not totally, but almost. Just the money he gave. But notice, God has to have a hold of your heart. You got to have a generous heart. You got to have an encounter with God. You got to believe in His church. You got to believe in all that. But that's the kind of people God wants to use today. To realize the stuff I have, this stuff in the bag or the basket, it's not just for me or the barn. It's not just for you. God wants to use you to pass that blessing on. And so I heard about this one guy. He got so blessed that he lives on 10% and gives 90% away. Do you think God can bless somebody like that? Can God bless you and me? That's the question. That's the question. Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. That's the tithe. That's just the beginning place. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. What's going to overflow? Your barns. You put God first. You seek Him first. You give Him tithe. You do all those things, and God will give you a barn, and it will overflow. How many believes that today? God is teaching us. See, He's teaching us the principle of tithing, offering. It's how he deals with our selfishness. You give back. And by the way, it's very few Christians today give an honest tithe. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a blessing. 90% with God will go further than 100% with a curse. How many have seen that in your life? See, what it does, when you give back to God, it deals with this grip that we have on materialism. It breaks that grip. It teaches how to trust in God, have faith in God. And isn't that the bottom line? We are people of faith. Trust in God. There's one more story. There was a guy that had a bag mentality or a mindset with a barn, but he had a barn. In Luke 12, it says, he told them, Jesus is telling them a parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So this guy, now he had a barn, but he thought the barn was for him. So he had all these blessings, and he thought it was all for him. And so it's like a lot of people today, bigger house, nicer car, better this, better clothes, bigger boat. You know, think about the boats. I can get a boat. God, give me a beautiful boat. Bless me with that so I can go out on the weekends and skip church and all. No, I'm sorry. I would tear down my barns. Notice he's saying, I am so blessed that I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones and everything's going to be for me. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves and is not rich towards who? God. So the question is, are you rich towards God? Does God want to bless you? Is our God an abundant God? Does he want to give good gifts to his children today? He does. He wants to bless you. You say, man, I don't have a barn. I don't think I have a basket. I got a little bag and he's got holes. It's time for you to trust God. And a lot of times say, we can't give anymore. I mean, I can't barely make it. I can barely cover my bills. Trust him. Watch him work for you. Oh, I can tell story after story in my own life how God has been so good. And so here is a man who had barn blessings with a bag mindset. And I want to say this respectfully. Most of us are there. Most of us have a barn. If you live in America, you have a barn. If you're a homeless under a bridge, if you live in America, you have a barn. If you've been to third world countries, it's amazing how blessed we are. We live not only a country of freedom to worship God on the Sabbath right here. We are so blessed. We take it so for granted. So we have all these blessings and we've got this bag mindset and we kind of think it's all for us. I tell you, you want to get this kind of the slap across the face when you go to third world countries. I've been to India twice. And when I went there the first time, I get there. And these people want you to come over, you know, and eat with them. And I got sick over there. Careful of the water. Lost 12 pounds in 3 days. But anyway, this one lady, she put together this meal. It was this beautiful meal. Of course, it's not American, but I could tell there was a lot of effort in this. And I started to ask one of my translators how much was put into this meal. And she had spent about 4 weeks' salary for that one meal for me. And I ate it. This is after the facts. And I'm going to tell you, after I heard this, it got tears in my eyes. And I was almost embarrassed. And I began to think about, wow, if these people saw where I live and what I have, it would be embarrassing. And I say, how is it, how come these people have more joy, they're more fulfilled, more satisfied than us that have everything? because here I am, I'm a person that had everything, and this woman just gave 4 weeks' salary to give me one meal. See, they have learned the principle. They have learned the principle of generosity. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The greatest gift by our Father was Jesus. The best gift, the greatest gift. And he was given for you and for me, the perfect sacrifice. Laid down his life, that gift was given for you and me. And see, the second gift that is given, and we saw it with Steve and Naomi, it's a giving of your life. That's what it is. God gives to you, and then we give back. See, it's not just our money. He really doesn't care about our money. He cares about our hearts. And so we give our lives to Christ. It's a privilege. It's an honor to give back to God what he's given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here with brothers and sisters that love you. That's why we're here. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for being such an abundant, amazing, awesome God. You give us so much. We are so blessed. We take it so for granted. Oh God, change our hearts. Take our minds from this self-centered bag mindset, this idea that we're always afraid or we're going to lack, and transform our minds into that basket and that barn mindset that you are in a God of abundance and you want to pour out your blessings on us and you want to use us to bless other people. Oh God, may that happen. May that happen in my life, happen in every person's life. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for Jesus. The gift of Jesus. And it's through him we have hope today. It's through him that we recognize it's not just this world we live for, but we're living for another place and another time. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. His sacrifice. For giving so much. And so, Lord, as we leave today and we think about the blessed life, may the Spirit of God, may your Spirit have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen.